says I am righteous, then I am. If the Lord says I am healed, then I am. If the Lord says I am more than a conqueror in this world, if the Lord says I am, then I am. If the Lord says I am holy, then I am. If the Lord says I am healed, then I am. If the Lord says I am more than a conqueror in this world, if the Lord says I am, then I am.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh Lord, it's good to be here on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Good to be amongst believers.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It is such a wonderful thing. I love hearing that. If the Lord says I am, then I am.
Whatever he says, I am.
The Lord says I'm an eagle, then I am. The Lord says I am more than enough, I am.
Yes. Yes.
Lord said I am, I am. There's nothing more that needs to be added. Nothing more that needs to be changed.
That's right.
It's not up for interpretation.
Believe it just that way.
When you get to that place.
Yeah.
When you get a body who knows who they are.
Right, right.
You don't walk in defeated. You don't walk in. I love it because you know what it does? It makes God manifest himself.
Yes.
When your family doesn't show up, you have to lean on them a little bit more.
Yes.
You're not defeated.
No, no.
You're not crushed. No, you're not sad. No, you're not. No, no, you know the answer. He said, you are because you are.
What? Right.
He
right.
says all things work
That's
together.
Right.
He didn't say some.
Come on.
He didn't say what's convenient. He said he didn't say just praise my name when you're feeling good. Right. He said praise my name when he's feeling bad.
Come on.
Praise my name when it's not so easy. Right. He says it's going to be sweet in the mouth but bitter in the belly.
That's right.
It's going to cost you something.
Sure.
It's not going to be a walk.
It's worth it.
But at any cost, yeah. it's worth it.
Amen.
We're over here. And you know, it's funny cost. Though, because once you say amen, that spirit of the eagle comes into you.
Yeah.
And no matter what, you can't help. You can't help but do it.
That's right.
You've lost it. You're now a prisoner. I'm a prisoner to God. I have no more. My free will, my last choice I made was saying that's nothing but the truth.
Come on.
And after that, no matter what cost, no matter what the walk, it is worth it. Because I come in here, you know what? This is the only thing that's been consistent. You know, the love of others, they may love you in the morning.
Yeah.
They may, if you're lucky, love right. you in the afternoon.
Right.
But at nighttime, it may change. That filial love's got a limit to it.
Sure. Yeah, it's got a limit.
But there's an agape love that loves you through it all.
Yeah.
Right. He loves you when you were wrong.
Right.
He loves you when you praise him.
Yet
he loves you when you get up and testify. He loves when you're a burning example.
Right. Right.
Sister Melanie, I appreciate that. Being a vessel. Being a vessel. Just Amen. Getting up and just getting out of the way. You know, I love the fact that this year of dedication has brought to me.
Oh, man.
It's made me think. Yeah. You know, Amen. We want to have a service, and we're all expecting Brother Jeremiah to get up and be the one that preaches. No, you know what? No. I want to do my part.
Not just sure.
Yeah. I want to be the
this
one
is who
holds your
part
arm. If I have to be the person that holds the person's arm.
Come on.
Right, it's a body. Right, right.
That's how it works.
I have to do a part. I can't come in here and take a seat.
No,
God's
no,
been
no,
too
no.
good to me.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I love this message. This message has been the most consistent thing for me.
Sister.
You know what? Yeah. My family comes. My family goes. My kids love me 1 second. But you know what? My love conquers all.
Amen.
You can't get over here and get yourself right and say, well, I'll just take them with me. You better have something in you.
Yeah.
You better have a revelation. Or you're not taking nobody. You're not taking nobody. That ticket was torn.
Yeah.
And that ticket has to match perfectly up. Perfectly up.
Right.
That means you have to listen to every word.
Yeah.
Not
every
just
word.
Some words.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
You talked about dedicating yourself and taking it more seriously. You know what? My prayers have changed. I'm
Amen.
Like, Lord, you know what? Let me be a little bit more like you.
Come on.
Lord, I may
Amen.
Fail. But you know what? That gives you an opportunity to step in.
That's right.
It gives you one more chance that you can say, you know what?
One more opportunity.
Touch me.
Yeah.
Touch me, Lord.
Still
I'm in need of prayer.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not defeated. I'm not sitting here. I'm not torn. I'm not mistaken. I'm not wondering what it is.
Amen.
I've been born again.
That's right. Yeah.
I have a revelation.
Amen.
I know what it is.
I do believe
it. I'm not sitting here wondering like, well, you know, Lord, goodness. I mean, if it's your will, I guess I'll do it. No, it's going to happen because I'll do it. Because I'll step out on it.
Whatever
it's
you say.
It's not going to happen by pomp and circumstance and some sort of activity. You have to literally step on it. You don't even know what you're stepping out on it, but you know that it's there.
It's there.
Because
he said,
you know what? We need to be a year of dedication. I don't even know what that means. But I'll, you know what? I dedicate to dedicate.
Right.
Because it's faith.
Amen.
It's by faith.
Amen.
It's
by faith.
It's by that unseen force. It's a substance. You can't, I don't know how to describe it.
Right.
But, you know, if you've had that experience, you know what it is. Because you know what? You'll be like, well, Brother Moore said this. Okay.
Yeah.
He's never forsaken me.
Never.
No.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what my family's going to do. Okay. I'll do it.
Come on.
They may fall by the wayside. Yeah. But you know what? I'm not coming for my family. I'm not coming for my friends.
No.
All of them are gone. The ones I grew up with.
Yeah.
The ones I gave birth with.
Yeah.
They're all gone. But for me and my house, a personal revelation.
Right.
I'm here. I'm praising him because he is real. And by my example, they'll see it. It's not going to be, well, you have to go. The Bible says this. It's by my lived voice. When you're tired, you get up and you go. You push. We have a push in this day and age. It's not going to be easy. You're going to look weird.
Oh, but you know what? I like that, though.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Salted. She's salted.
It's not been politically correct.
Oh, my goodness.
It's burning so bright.
What's going on?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Right.
You understand that?
Yeah.
You are part of something so big that, it's...
Amen.
You can't come in here upset.
Oh, no.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Knowing what we know.
Oh. Oh, man.
What?
Something with it.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes.
Right.
It's not by the name of Seth. No, it's the name of God.
Amen.
Amen.
God in flesh.
Yep.
Oh, Lord, so I thank you for revelation. I think I have one more opportunity.
Amen.
If I have breath in my lungs, Lord, let me play.
Yeah.
Lord, let me make this serious.
Yes.
He said, be careful what you say. You know, that's fine.
Right.
I'll take it.
Take it.
Yes. Sweep them out. Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing.
Amen.
Yeah. But you know what? At any time,
just pay it.
Pay it because it's done nothing but
that's right.
Yeah. Out of holes, I didn't think I
my.
Amen.
Yes.
Always. Always an answer.
He brought you down where he loves you.
Oh.
But he's kept that walk so well.
Yes.
Much.
Always got a solution.
Thank you for peace of mind. Thank you for sound judgment. Thank you that I'm not sitting here. I'm not. You can get, what else? Body can get up and talk here. You have to come here.
Yeah.
It's balance.
It's a balance.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I'll destroy your Facebook. I love the fact you'll always come back and.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Always. Testify ourselves right out.
Quickly.
Yeah. Amen. Right. That's exactly right.
I love to step back. You can say I'm finished, but I still have a job to do.
Yeah.
I started. So thank you so much for revelation.
Amen.
You so saw me because there's nothing special about this flesh.
Right.
Something within me. He saw
it.
I know what you'll do with it.
Amen.
You'll get up and you'll praise my name.
That's right.
All right. I'll give it to you.
That's right.
I'm not going to give it to somebody else.
Right.
No.
Come on.
He won't do that.
Right. Yeah. Cast my pearls.
To the
end.
Oh, Jesus. Let me take this more serious.
Come on.
Let this be a year of dedication.
Yes. Let it be.
Yes.
Let it be.
Let it be. What else?
My goodness. The freedom.
You can literally shake hands with God.
Amen. Oh, Lord, yes.
Yes.
Man.
You can see God.
praise him.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
My.
I'm just thankful to be here. And I would like all my sisters that are willing to sing with me to hop up here. You know, Brother Moore said, I don't see you singing in groups anymore. And I thought, why not? We can all get up here and do what he asked. That's part of dedication. You know, and I just thank God that I have strong ministry, strong men, strong sisters that are so willing to give God all his praise. I just come to praise the Lord. It's an easy one.
Okay.
I just come to praise the Lord.
I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise him. I just come to praise him. I just come to praise the Lord.
I just want to say amen.
I'm sorry.
Another day, and he corrected me, and I thought on those things yesterday, and it just gave me confidence in him to know what he has in me.
Yeah.
I want to make an election sure. I'm going to do what he wants.
Right.
Step out on what I want. That's a waste of time and energy. Thank you for health.
Yes.
You know, you go to the doctor, they take your blood. And
Yes.
So thank you for that. I could be, don't know. I don't even want to think about that. Yeah. But so he's told me to just run on and do it.
Yes. That's right. Yes. Run on, wait a minute. Okay, Mr. Traffic Director, tell me where I can do.
Go ahead. Whatever you're doing, go ahead.
What I want to do, I just feel to do this. Body, Jesus, thank you, Lord. I want it to be known. This year, before the Lord, I rededicate.
Amen. This year, before the Lord, at this time, I just feel like I want to do this. I rededicate myself this year to give to the Lord whatever he wants. Lord, wherever you want to, however you want to do it, you called me for this. I'm here to do a job in this day and this hour. No more shucking and jiving. Putting you first, Lord Jesus. And so now I have witnesses.
Amen.
I rededicate myself to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Pray. I claim my healing. I have no testimony of defeat.
Amen.
what the Lord says I am. I would accompany my own self if I was on the thing over there. But if the Lord says I'm a blessing, then I... Yeah. If he said I was righteous, hello.
Then I am.
Do you think he's playing?
No.
Oh,
saints.
Thank you, Jesus, for this day, for this message, for this hour. You would not have sent a message if there was no one to receive it. We are here.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. But I'm just thankful for what God has done for me, for us, for my family, like Sister Jennifer said, my health. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm going to turn 60 this year. I still can't believe it. But, amen. You know, these services have been so just hitting me. Hitting me. So I've said all that to say this, that I want to apologize to this body. I need to step up and protect this word more and more than I have been. And I remember two things. One thing Brother Childers said. He said, heaven will be worth it at any cost. Right. And then another thing, I don't know if Jesus said it, who said it, but it said there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends.
Oh, my goodness.
Those are two things that have been just drilling me this past week. And as Sister Moore said,
it's real.
This is real.
Yes, it is.
This is the only place where I know God's at, and all of you and me. And I'm just so thankful for this place and for what God has done in my life. Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I love it that this body has gotten the vision of our pastor. It is hard to get up here. You have to get a ticket and get three back to be able to get up here and say anything. But I just want to praise God. I just want to thank God so much. You know, I am so proud of this body. You know, I love the way when Pastor says something, it's God talking to us, that we get behind it.
Amen.
And I just got to tell you guys that yesterday that couple that came, the lady said, she said, I don't want to leave. And you know why that is because she felt God. And it was the love of our body that she saw. And I'm sure that they do these shows all the time. And I'm sure they don't go everywhere and say, I don't want to leave. And she didn't say it once. She didn't say it two times. She said it three times. And then she hugged my wife goodbye. And that's a total stranger. And then another thing is Brother Moore always says that, you know, someone comes in here and they don't know who the pastor is. You know, because we're just all. And so that guy asked me, he said, are you the pastor here? I said, no, I'm just an old man here. But I praise God. I was...
Amen. Yes.
It's not going to be law. It's not going to be something I work up because I love him. He loves me. I want that love to take over. No, that love will make me dedicate. That love will make me to do everything the word says. I just want to love it so much. There is no price to pay in one sense. He's done it all.
That's right.
But I want that love in me to get my flesh out of the way. And when God wants to move, I don't care if it's embarrassed. I don't care if it's tired.
All right.
I don't care what it is. Use me, Lord. Amen. And I see so clearly, you know, I'm going to be 70 this year. So, you know, don't come in.
I am so sorry. My mouth is so loud, though, I think. But anyhow, I just praise God for health, and I just want to serve him for the next 50 years as much as I can.
Before we get too carried away, got some new announcements I saw posted. We'll remember the Easter trip coming up at the end of March. And then the men are having a breakfast April 27th, and the sisters are having a fellowship on June 1st. So just remember that. Go ahead.
Lord placed a song on my heart, but before I play, I just want to thank God for another opportunity to be here. You know, it, I mean, what we get here, boy.
Mm-hmm. Lord. No, perfect balance.
Sorry. Okay, but I just want to say thank you, Lord, for my little part that I have to play in this. I do believe that I'm going to see my loved ones starting with. Okay. Thank you, but I'm just looking forward. I mean, it's so real to me. This message, this. What we get here is so real. I have no doubt that one day that I'm going to see my dad. The thing is, I just wonder, am I going to be startled or am I going to be happy or what? I mean, you know, that moment will come. It probably won't matter. I'll just be glad to see him, you know, because then I know I've caught the revelation. I just know the body changes on, and it'll just be time to go home. And so based on... after saying that, God is so good. I just want to do my little part here. Amen. It's gonna. My favorite song is "I'll Fly Away," so I'm gonna play that one.
Amen.
Amen.
Eagle, how they fly, higher than any other bird, and see further than any other bird. In fact, every time you look at this word, you think, that is exactly where we're at. You look at what other people have, all the fears, all the doubts, all the, just don't know. And if you don't know, there's automatically fear there, there's automatically doubt there. But when you see everything clearly, that makes all the difference. You know, I'm looking at things a little different, you know. The more simple it gets, you know, as you see things more clearly, it gets more simple. and it gets a whole lot less stressful. You know, and you look at you look at your loved ones, you look at your life, you look at differences we have here, you look at all these things, and it just all fades away because we're up so high, we see so far beyond it. And I really appreciate that because that brings a peace. That brings a rest. Like I don't know. I don't know how to even express what I feel. You know, it's not like I'm ready to explode like Isaiah over there, but it's just such a peace, such an understanding, such a rest. And I think, Lord, can it get any brighter? Can it get more simple? Can it get any more simple? You know, am I going to take that one? Yes. Absolutely. Because I know what I'm looking at, what I'm looking for. And it's just that, like you were saying, that agape love. That agape love is unconditional. You can't, as much as people try to put condition on God's love, it is unconditional. Amen. And it all starts from simple faith.
Simply
believing His word. And I was thinking this week, you know, predestination. You know, a lot of people talk a lot about predestination, not just in this message.
Right.
I was looking online the other day, and everybody talking about predestination. Oh, you know, their little theory on it and all this, that, and the other. But even predestination, I mean, what? How does your predestination come about?
How does it?
It's by you believing the word. That's what sets the whole thing off.
Yeah.
If he couldn't look up by his foreknowledge and see you believed his word, he would have never predestinated you.
That's exactly right.
They say, well, God loved me first. Well, yeah, he loved the world.
Yeah.
He throwed it open to everybody. It was even open for Cain. So if you do well, won't you be accepted?
Won't you?
But he didn't believe. He didn't believe the word. He was, yeah, I was thinking too. Just give me a second. I was thinking a lot this week. But just give me a second here. You know, Cain was raised by Adam and Eve. No snake raised him. His daddy didn't raise him. His daddy was a snake. He went on his belly. Adam and Eve raised him. He got the same teaching as Abel did. And I'm thinking he was raised in the same way, but yet he just didn't believe it. And it didn't have anything to do with who his daddy was.
Right.
It was because he himself, personally, didn't believe the word.
Couldn't get with it.
And I think how simple this is. And I'm so thankful that I believed it.
Oh, yeah.
And by that, he saw that I would believe it, and he predestinated me, and he gave me power to become a son of God.
Yes.
Just believing it is not becoming a son of God.
Man.
But when he sees you believed it, and he said he that endureth to the end.
Yeah.
He looked up here and he's seeing that I would believe all the way through. I would never fall off.
Amen.
I would never stop believing his word.
Amen.
So he gave me something that would change my soul.
Yeah.
And make me a son of God.
Amen.
Give me eternal life. Give me a part of himself. You know, and these things just piece together and it makes so much simple common sense.
Amen.
I like what Brother Moore said the other day. You know, most of it's just common sense.
That's it.
We're forever trying to make God too spiritual. You know, and God's just plain common sense. He's got a law. You believe him? He's got something to work with.
Amen.
You don't believe him? He can't do anything. He's got another ride in on. He's got nothing to perk his ears up, you know, so to speak. You got to believe him. And I think that's too simple.
Yeah.
Too simple. We overlook it. We try to make it hard, but we just believe God.
Right.
Am I going to get my healing? Oh, yeah. He said, just believe and you'd have it. Simple.
Right.
Simple as can be.
Yeah.
And I won't receive anything else. I believe his word. I don't believe a creed. Don't believe a tradition. Don't believe some chicken devil. You know? I believe the word of God.
Amen.
And that means something to me.
Amen.
And it may not have everybody just jumping up and down, but that means something to me.
Amen. Amen.
You know? Because that brings it just to the simplicity.
Yes.
If thou canst believe, Brother Branham always saying that, only believe.
Yeah.
All things are possible to him that believeth. And I think, now, everything based on your faith. And you know, we're constantly waiting for God to make us do something. He's not going to make you do nothing.
Nothing.
If you want to step out on his word, step out on his word. He'll meet you right there every time.
Every time.
And if you hold back, don't expect anything.
Right.
And I'm thankful for that right there. To have faith, to know what faith is, to know how simple it is, to know that now he's given me a spirit of a flying eagle. And I soar above it all. The devil can't even get up here. The devil tried to get up here, his feathers would fall off.
Right.
That's why I say he's not even in this picture. Amen. He don't even belong in light. He can't exist in light. Amen.
I love this body. And, you know, I'm just, I'm excited, you know, because I got to witness something yesterday. And, you know, like he was just talking, you know, seeing just jumping around. It means something.
Yeah.
Well, I got to witness the biggest kid in this whole place. And I looked over, you know, at Brother John Brinkman, and his face was lit up. Lit. And I'm like, oh, Lord. You know, it's really love. It's really love that makes you just get with it. Amen. It's really love that just makes you move. You know, I'm not an animal dude. You know what I mean? I admit it. You know, I'm not with animals, but just seeing the Brother John's excitement and just the love, I was like, I don't even care what it is. Let me hold whatever. Let me, you know, if meat offends your brother, don't eat it in front of him. But you know what? You should love your brother enough to say, you know what? Forget about the meat, because that's not what it's about. Right. It's about me loving my brother and getting with my brother. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Whatever we're touching, I want to get with you. Because to get with you is to get with God. To get with me is to get with God. It's about loving him and we're loving each other.
Right.
Because I seen the excitement. I said, you know what? I just want to get involved.
Right.
The little kids were just getting involved. They just couldn't help it. That no wonder the lady didn't want to leave.
Not?
Every animal that came forth, we were like, oh my goodness. Whoa, I was excited. You know, I was video recording it, you know. Just get with it.
Amen.
But you know what? It's going to take love. Perfect love casts out all fear.
Amen.
That fear is, it could be fear of getting up and getting involved. It could be a fear of, you know, not wanting to be seen by everybody else as you have fun. Get in, drink this drink, eat this meat. It's here, it's available. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, you're right, I'm about to explode. I can't even control the words coming out of my mouth because it's just, I had love for this thing, but I'm seeing a young brother getting up here, so let me get out the way.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
I'm happy to be here. I saw my dad came out of prison. I'm happy to see him again. My cousin, she's doing good now. Thank you guys for praying for her, and I'm happy to be here.
Amen.
I see the Spirit of God moving from heart to heart and from breast to breast.
Amen.
And we are just giving to the Lord. So when Brother John was testifying, he was talking about love. Then Isaiah got up and he was talking about love. And a scripture dropped on me. If you have a time, why can we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13? You can speak with tongues of men and of angels. You can give your body to be burned. You can give all your goods away to feed the poor. And if you don't have love, it don't mount to a hill of beans.
That's right.
So if we have time, sometime, I'm asking 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Amen. Be the last one.
Okay. Hey, man, it's glad to be here. Appreciate Brother Dylan's testimony.
Amen.
It's good to see God moving in his life. You know, that brother's made a stand, and I know his mom's proud. I know his family's proud. He's being able to be a light. So that's awesome to see. Appreciate him. It's I couldn't say enough about it, and I want to encourage him along the way, whatever he needs. I'd be happy to help. I'm happy to be here myself. It's a beautiful body that we're here, and it's lovely to see all the testimonies. I know we're excited about hearing the word.
Yes.
I know we're excited about hearing Brother Jeremiah preach. And,
amen.
You know, it's a beautiful thing to come in here and just give yourself away to God. And I love that, you know, when we talk about the year of dedication, that, you know, we've got somebody, not only a pastor, a leader, a coach, a mentor, a friend, that's pushing us, you know, because... You know, we always use the analogy of the gym because it's the easiest one to use. But I mean, it's fine, but it's the easy one to use. But, you know, a lot of times when you go to the gym, you see people just playing on their phone and walking on the Stairmaster, and they never get anywhere. You know, you see them and they're the same weight they were last year. They're the same weight they were 4 years ago. And they go, well, I'm working out. And it's like, really? You're playing on your phone? There's no resistance on the Stairmaster. You're not sweating. Nothing's happening. It's easy for you. You can still talk. You know, when you're working out, you should not be able to talk. There should be some breathing going on. It should be an amount of oxygen that's coming, that your body's going through something. You're pushing through some resistance. And I'm looking at that and I say, you know, that's how it was for me a little bit in church. Just in here playing. It wasn't hard. You think, oh, I'm going to be a good example. It wasn't hard to be an example because I wasn't even being an example. You know, you go, it wasn't hard. You didn't have no resistance.
Right,
you go,
right,
Lord, what do
right.
you want in my life? And I'll give you Wednesday night. I'll give you Sunday morning. That ain't no resistance.
Right.
It's easy to serve God in church. Don't give me that. It's easy to come in here and serve God in church. But when you can go out there like a brother Dylan and be a light to his father that just come out of jail and say, right. I'm a different person now, Dad. It's good to see you.
Come on.
Praise God for you. You can see, be like Sister Beth that went through the world to come in here and say, praise God for you, be healed for my family. You come in here and you go through something like Sister Sway said, you know, I got this going on in my family, this going on, but still being a light.
Yes.
That's when it's hard. It's not hard to come in here and praise God. And here, you got a whole bunch of people holding your hands up. It's almost easier in here to do anything.
Right.
It's easy to sing in here. You can get up here and 40 people will get up here and join in the song. You don't even got to know the words. We'll put them up for you. You don't got to know the tune. We'll play the key for you. You don't even got to sing the whole song. You can drop in, drop out, sing the song whenever you want. You can get up here and testify, and you can just stop and say, I don't know what else to say, and somebody will get up here and do it. But when you get out there, it better be a clear sentence. You better know what scripture you're talking about. You better know what you really believe. It's all on you then. Then it's an individual sport then. Right now it's community. We can all serve God in here. But when you get out there, that's when the rubber meets the road. When you're out there, that's when you got to be an example. When you're out there, that's when you're really holding up the body. That's when you're being a light. That's when you're being an example. In here, I don't need you to be my example.
Come on.
I know what it is when I get in here.
Amen.
I know the expectation. If nothing else, the deacons will make it a good atmosphere.
Come on, if nothing else,
the music will creep the sanctuary here. Yeah. But when you get out there, what do you do in your house? What do you do in your home? What do you do when you go out to an event? What do you do when you're in your car? Where does that character show up when you're at your work? What happens when the boss ain't around and you're supposed to be working? You just play? You just not be an example? But I praise God that he's given us some direction. That it's not a vague speak out here. You know, out there in the church world, they'll say, oh, I feel that somebody's going to get blessed. That's garbage. Why don't you tell me who really going to get blessed? Why don't you speak the name? Say, Brother Warren, I can see that your hip is healed. Sister Renee, I see that your foot is healed. Why don't you put a name on it?
Come on!
I want a God that's direct. Don't talk to me in parables. Don't talk to me in whispers and shadows. I like God saying, you step up. You step up. That makes it real to me.
Amen.
And then that's something I can hold on to.
Yeah.
I can say, God actually told me this.
Amen.
That's a revelation.
Yeah.
When you know God told it to you, now it's not unknown.
Come on.
Now you know what your job is.
Yeah.
So I praise God for this. I'm burning. I'm looking forward to it. I've been burning ever since Sunday night.
I'm looking forward.
When the brother came and preached, I was ready to preach. Sunday morning, he said, but Jeremiah's preaching. I said, I'm still ready to preach. I'm ready to preach, pray or die.
Yeah.
Why I've been taught like that. I've been taught like that. I've been in this thing long enough. I've been taught like that.
Amen.
This comes from Brother Childers' age. If you're going to be a preacher, preach.
Right.
If you're going to be a testifier, testify. If you're supposed to sing, sing.
Yeah.
Do what you're supposed to do and do it with all your heart.
Goodness.
Don't half do anything in here.
Amen.
Don't half be an example. Don't be an example in here and then be somebody else out there.
Come on.
Guess what? We'll know it.
Yeah.
Your slip will show a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see that you're fake. But real, recognize real in here. And I love that we got people that want to step up.
Yes.
You know, it's nothing Amen. Worse than being somewhere with a bunch of people that don't want to do the job.
Right.
It's embarrassing.
Amen.
You look around, and then that's why I love that we got leadership in here. You know, as much as they don't know who the pastor is, we know who the pastor is. It ain't no question that when Pastor Moore speaks, we move. It ain't no question that if he just looks a certain direction, we're all looking that direction.
Yeah, that's right.
If he just moves a little bit, we're moving that way. That's leadership. That's how it's supposed to work. And when it works like that, then everything else gets easier. Everything else gets easier. Because the quicker you yield to God, the easier it is for you. Got more time to do stuff. That's why I praise God that Sister Mel got up. You know what? Sister Mel getting up early gave me the ability to get up now. Sister Mel getting up early gave Dylan the ability to get up. If she didn't get up, you know what? We would have started at 10. We wouldn't have had time for Dylan. They would have cut us off.
Come on.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have had time for me. They would have cut us off.
Yeah.
You see how this works? You yield, and then now God can do something.
On,
you spend all week thinking about what you might do.
Amen.
Just step out on it and reap the blessings of it.
Right.
Don't just get blessed on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Just step out on it so that way Monday can be a blessing.
Yeah.
That way Tuesday can be a blessing. That's why I love this, because he keeps blessing me more.
Yeah.
More and more and more, I look at the effect that I have on my own family. I'm a blessing. You should be able to say that. You're a blessing. When they need God, they know where to go.
They know.
Oh, they may not want to do what I have to do, to sacrifice, to push, to make sure I'm pushing this message forward. But guess what? When they go through the miry clay, the muck in the mine, and they go through the storm, they know. I know somebody that's put the work in.
Amen.
I know somebody that knows how to get a hold of God.
Yeah.
I know somebody that listens to God every time he talks.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and send my brother a message.
Amen.
Let me ask him to pray. Why? Because he knows I'm going to hear from God.
Amen.
He knows that every time I speak,
yeah,
God answers me.
Come on, Lord.
That don't come without some faith.
Yeah.
That's right.
Noah pleased God by his faith.
Yes.
See, I praise God for all that we get in here. I'm excited about hearing Brother Jeremiah,
because
I believe that God's already speaking to him. God's already moving on him, saying he's just chomping at the bit like Isaiah was chomping at the bit. He's ready like Brother Don was ready. He's ready, but I praise God that we get a little bit of time right now. That we can all just let our little teapot scream out a little bit for a couple of seconds and just say, praise God for all that you've given me. The good times and the great times. The blessings and the encouragement. Because that's how I see it. When I'm short, I thank God that he recognizes it.
That's right.
Oh, see, you know, I'm going to say this last thing. In management, you got some employees that you know ain't going to get better.
Right.
You know they're not listening to you. So every time you talk to them, all you're doing is showing, getting them closer to the exit. I'm not trying to help them perform better. I'm not doing a performance plan to get them better. I'm just figuring out a way that my documentation is good that they can get out.
Yeah.
But that I don't recognize anything they do good. I'm just doing a way of getting them out. But in here, God's giving us ways to get in.
Amen.
He's saying, I'm going to show you a little better ways to get closer to me. He's not trying to get us out of here. That's why we don't get condemnation on us in the message. We get convicted. We get encouraged. We get motivated. When God tells us I'm short, I'm saying, thank God you saw it. Now you turned on the light, I can get better. I praise God for everything that we get in here. I praise God for my family. I praise God for my wife. I praise God for my kids. I praise God for my friends. I praise God for all of it. Because I didn't have to have all that. But he saw fit to give it to me.
Right.
He gave me friends. You know how good it is to have friends?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Praise God for some friends.
Amen.
That can hold you accountable, that are honest with you, that help you and encourage you. I praise God for this place.
Amen.
I praise God for this leadership. I praise God for what Brother Jeremiah is going to preach. Because you know what? I know he's bringing exactly what Pastor Moore brought.
Yeah.
I know he's going to bring me the word just like Pastor Moore brings me the word.
Like,
I got, as a matter of fact, I've got my notes that I'm going to take notes. So
yeah.
I'm like, I'm shopping at Kroger. I'm shopping.
Oh, yes.
While he's talking, I'm just putting down.
Yes.
I'm going to be taking down
benefits.
Notes. I don't got to go to another store to shop. I don't got to listen to Dr. David Jeremiah. I got Jeremiah Allen. That's what I'm listening to. That's who's preaching to me. That's the word I'm listening to. That's what I want to hear this morning. So praise God for y'all. God bless you.
Amen.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the new time. Serve him.
Key of A, you deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory.
Father, you deserve the glory and the worship and the honor. We thank you for everything you did and have done and doing for us. Lord, you're so good to us. You supply us with all of our needs. You give us the word of the hour. You brighten this thing up. You let us know who we are. You correct us because you love us. Lord, you've given us so many blessings. And all because of the price you paid, Lord, we're standing here today worthy to look in this book this morning and have a full word revelation, and we thank you for that. Be with the rest of the service, Lord. Preach to us, talk to us, deal with us, Lord. You know each and every need. Be with the body physically as well, Lord, mentally, Touch to those that are sick, Lord. Continue to give strength to those that need a touch in her body. I see Sister Keen missing, Lord, and we ask that you bless her and touch her. Be with those that aren't here that would like to be here, Lord, and have your way with the rest of the service. Thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back this Sunday. Enjoyed everybody's testimonies and word, and we got a body that's running for Jesus. And we're not tired yet. And we won't get tired. Always like how Paul said it, run the race with patience. You need to be moving. We also need to be waiting on God to tell you where to move to. And he's leading us each and every day, and he's in us. We have an inside teacher, and we thank God for that. And God has given us so many blessings. I love the fact that we serve a God that'll come in here and get right down to earth with us and talk to us face to face. And so to speak, have communion with us. I know we're not having communion again with him until we get on the other side. But he's dealing with us. He's feeding us. He's saying, this is what you need. And he knows how to speed us up. He knows how to slow us down. And he's always done it the right way. He's never had to take a step backwards. He knows exactly what we need. And, you know, a person that has been involved with a lot of the events we did, I watched yesterday, I thought, that ended up being a good event. Well, you know, sometimes we've done a little bit of everything. We like to mix it up, and it was different. And as I sat back and watched it, the body that was there really enjoyed it. So really appreciate Paul and his wife, I think Joanna was her name, coming and doing that for us. And we had a good time. So you never know. If you have an idea, you bring it forward. And if the Lord will, we'll try to do it. Some things we can't do because they're too risky to people's health. You know, I'm not so sure I will ever do another canoeing trip as a body. That's going to be a small group thing, because when we did it this last time, there was too many people falling here and falling there, and I thought, I can't take care of all these people at the same time. Doesn't mean some of us can't get together and do that, but I just meant we got to be wise with what we do, because we are caretakers of one another. And we are our brother's keeper. That's exactly right. And I enjoy, you know, the different things. You know, I even remember when we went to the Art Institute and saw Sister Moore's painting, and that was different, right? Enjoyable. So keep bringing forward, because we enjoy the fellowship, and you'll see that we did put the men's, it was by popular demand, men's breakfast, and we'll just call them fellowships, because I don't want to dictate it has to be a breakfast or it has to be this, but we'll get a sister's fellowship and a brother's fellowship, and do what we got to do, right, and have a good time. Because I guess you guys enjoyed Brother Moore so much the last time when we did those that you wanted it again. So that's good. I mean that in a good way. So keep these things in mind. We got Easter coming up and looking forward to that. And I see the announcement, and Brother Moore's going to be preaching, it looks like. So we'll go and support him. And so let's go help somebody, you know. Amen. They'll help us and we'll help them, you know. And so let's go do our job as a body and do what we do. And just as a little reminder, this coming Thursday we'll have the young people's practice, so keep that in mind as well. So I've been enjoying the services, enjoyed Brother Alex on Wednesday. You know, I always enjoy him when he comes. He's a preacher. He's a real preacher. He gets out of the way and preaches to us. And I got his number on Wednesday. I said, when I go down to Kentucky, I said, I'm probably going to give him your name, tell him they ought to invite you down. So because I think he's a blessing to the body here. And always enjoy when he comes and the Coveys. So with that said, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Take our time here this morning. I say that to myself more than I'm saying it to you. I'm a person that when I see a task, I get to going, you know. That's by a natural personality. So it's run the race with patience. Be patient. But I do want to turn over to the book of Isaiah. I am excited about what we've been hearing and what we've been preached here. Appreciate our pastor and everything he does for us. And as many of you have already testified, you know, he's been bringing good word and always does. And God knows how to deal with us. And this body,
as we've seen here in the last year, God might show us a direction, and we move so fast now. And I know our elders have been here longer than I have, but that hasn't always been the case. But it is wonderful and beautiful to see, because that's what we're supposed to be, a moving body. So Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and we're going to go to towards the end of that. We'll start with verse 29. This is a familiar verse. When we get to it, you'll remember it. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know, my son, he'll run around and has all kinds of energy, but there does come a time he gets tired. And there comes a time even he has to stop and take a breather, you know. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, I know as you read that this morning with me, the same thing went through my mind this week when I read it is going through your mind. You're thinking about what Brother Moore just preached and how we're eagles. And we are going to get the job done. And my title this morning is Born to Fly. Because that's what we are. Amen. You know, just to talk about it a little bit. You know, if you go to the book of Revelations, and we've heard around here, and I'm just going to slowly go through this to help some of these kids here, because I have kids that ask me questions now. So they're listening. So I like to slow down sometimes and give a little thing, because I might have heard this 20 times. But they're just listening for the first time. So, you know, but in the book of Revelations, you've heard us talk about the white horse rider, red horse rider, and the black horse rider, and the pale horse rider. And those were just symbolics of Satan sending out his powers, the power of the devil, trying to devour and try to hurt what God's doing. And what God knew that, and of course, God's ahead of the devil, and he's way ahead and knows everything the devil's going to do. So God will send a spirit to combat the devil. And if you read in Revelation, the fourth chapter, you can find it in the book of Revelations, other places. He sent four beast spirits. And the first one he sent was a lion. And that lion, Brother Branham said, was that pure word. And we know what Paul and those forefathers had. They had the pure word of God. Now, when God uses these symbols, it wasn't that it was a natural lion, but he used these symbols because it means something. Because we know what a lion is. It's the king. It's like, you're going to listen to me. I got what you need. And that's what Paul had. Paul actually had a word that you could build the whole foundation of the church on. Because that's what we were built upon. It was the word of God. Amen. By revelation, as Brother Branham taught us. It wasn't even on Jesus the man. It was on the revelation of the word of God that the church is built upon, so that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And so because what Paul warned us, he said, grievous wolves shall enter in. And they're going to try to take this pure word, and they're going to try to give you false doctrine. But you all stay with the word. Don't leave your first love. And that's the spirit God gave those people in that first age or two there, so that they could combat that spirit of the devil. And then here comes the spirit of an ox. And the whole time, we call it a spirit of an ox, but this is just God's spirit. But what he's doing is giving a spirit of an ox, because it was a sacrificial spirit, a burden-bearing spirit. And they needed that, because the Catholic Church got into power and essentially said, if you don't serve God the way I want you to serve God, if you don't bow down to my system, we're going to kill you. And they sure did. And I was reading a little bit this week, Brother Branham said they couldn't only do it. The only thing they could do was just give their lives. Because that Catholic Church was in so much power, but God was in it. God was using every bit of it. But if they had 100 lives, Brother Branham said, they would have given every one of them. Because God had given them such a spirit to combat that devil in that age. And then he comes the face of a man. And all this is for a reason. Because when that ox happened, you see that big dark circle up there? That was the dark time. It was the devil's and a lot of power. And I'm not giving the devil credit, but what I always like to be able to say, people want to call that the devil's millennium, but you notice God didn't even let it be 1,000 years. I think that's on purpose. God's like, you ain't going to have more than, you ain't getting 1,000 years. And he didn't even give the devil 1,000 years. And the devil really wasn't even winning, to be honest with you. The whole time God's winning because God was working his church and combating that devil.
Amen.
Exactly. Not even having a day. But what happened too then is that black horse rider, the scripture reads it says it controlled the money. And that's what the scripture basically said, wheat and barley and for a penny and this, paraphrasing. Brother Branham said, you know what they did, that church wanted all the money. And that's where they had people paying penance, paying for people that they believe is in purgatory. And that's where, you know, if you read about Luther, he walked and saw, they said, this is not how my God is. The just shall live by faith. And God gave him a spirit of a man because Brother Branham even said, out of all those beasts that we're talking about, eagle, ox, face of a man, a lion, who's the smartest? The man is, out of all four of those beasts. And Luther and Wesley and them had to be, because you realize the Catholic Church had such a grip on religion that they had their own Bible and very few people could even read it and understand the Latin of it. And so here God gave this smart man, Martin Luther, such a spirit, and he even needed to be smart. And you know, Brother Bram kind of said, don't get so smart, you're so outsmart God. You know, we even know there's a balance on that, but God needed those smart, shrewd men in that day and hour to combat that devil. Because they couldn't even get a real Bible out. And thank God he sent a Martin Luther to make the Bible available to you and me. And a John Wesley that was able to fight that spirit of that devil. And they did it because it was in them to do it. That's the other point. In every age, that spirit was in them. Those people that was in those dark ages, Brother James, they couldn't help but step out and want to give their lives. They couldn't help but step out and say, I'll give it freely. Because that spirit of God was in them to do so. So enough talking about them, which is really talking about me. But now come up here in our day, in our hour, and we know it quite well, the beast that God has given us is an eagle. Oh, that gets me excited. Every time I talk about it, I get more excited about it because it's talking about my job, about who I am and what I'm going to do. And you realize we are born to fly. All the other three beasts are earthbound animals, but we're heavenbound animals. We got a heavenbound spirit. We got a rapturing spirit. We fly so high, like Brother Deskin says, even the clouds don't bother us. Now, I want to slow myself down a little bit, but we are born to fly. Like Brother Moore taught us and said it last week, I'm just trying to give some foundation here. When that mother eagle starts making that nest for those babies, she does it in such a way that she's saying, you're not going to stay here all the time. You're born to fly. She wants to get that baby eagle out there on the edge of that nest to where eventually it says, I got to step out. I got to fly. And that's exactly what eagles do. They fly higher than any other bird.
Amen.
That story Brother Bram said where that eagle got misplaced and got raised around some chickens, it knew it wasn't right. There was something in it didn't like it because it wasn't supposed to be down here with these chickens on the earth. It was supposed to be flying. And it would go around and act like a chicken for a little while. But one day that eagle heard his mother scream up in the sky and says, that's where I belong. And that eagle took off flying to the sky. And that's what we are in this day. That's the spirit of God that we have upon us is an eagle spirit. We are born to fly. Oh, that gets me excited. Brother Branham, one time he was talking, I read this week too, he talked about how science progressed. He said, you know, it used to be horse and buggy. Then we got to an automobile. Then we got to an airplane. He says, but we're beyond the airplane. He said, we're in the astronaut age. We're up here beyond just turbulence. You know, airplanes can face some turbulence. But you know, when you get to space, you're just up there floating kind of freely. Ain't nothing bothering you. And so we're not earthbound creatures. That's why we can overcome the devil with our eyes closed, so to speak, because we're so far high above him where he can't even get to. He said, when you get that high, you can see where you're going. Do you realize we can see where we're going? We know where we're going. We're not guessing at this thing. We can look all the way back. We can look at what's going on right now. We know where we're headed. We're flying so high that this world is losing its hold. And really, in one sense, it's already lost its hold. I just got two rims on me that still got some love for it. But I got something on the inside of me. I've been born again that loves God, that's already positionally placed in Christ Jesus, now sitting in heavenly places, flying so high that I can look at this world and say, this world is not my home. This is not what I'm fighting for. So I want to go over to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So I want to bring a few things in with this. I'm glad I was born to fly. Because I'm going to read a born again scripture in a minute. But when you're born again, your nature changes. Your very life changes. Your very what you love changes. You know, when a lady gets pregnant, you know, she starts changing. She doesn't even have to try. She can't even stop it. You get what I'm saying? Like, she starts having cravings, and she can't help what cravings she has. It just automatically starts showing up when she gets pregnant. She gets morning sickness. She can't help it. She can't stop it. You can try to take something to slow it down, but I'm here to tell you, it's going to happen. Well, when you get born again, that's how this thing is. That you, what's that nature that gets born inside of you, it is who you are. It's what you're automatically going to be. Yeah, that's why Brother Moore was even saying last week, your choice was, I want to serve God, I believe God. And you got born again. Right. And what that did, that got rid of your old nature. Amen. That got rid of your old life. Right. Your very life itself changed. Yes. So your cravings will change.
Amen.
Your purpose will change. Your motives will change. Yes, everything about you will change. Amen. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things. Oh, I like that. When you're born again, God don't just leave a little bit of that old soul in there. Brother Branham said you don't just hang him up for a little while for an occasion. He says he's completely annihilated. Amen. That old life is done away with. It's thrown in God's sea of forgiveness. God doesn't even see it.
Amen.
Oh, we're talking about works, and I'm going to bring some of that in here in a little bit. But let me just remind you who you are. When you're born again, that's the nature of God inside of you. Amen. You're the perfect, spotless, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. No matter what you do or don't do from that point on, you by nature are God's child. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it can't be removed regardless, no matter what. Now, I'm going to bring works in here in a minute because your nature changed. You're going to automatically do things like God. You got a new life. You got a new way. But I do want to remind us, because the devil will try to condemn you real quick. The devil has no condemnation on you. No matter how many times you fall down on your face, you can look at him and say, I'm a child of God. I've never done it in the first place. Jesus paid it all, and I'm more than worthy to go to heaven. Say, but Jeremiah, I got things I know are wrong. But a godly little woman. Because this thing still is an unconditional covenant. God knew you as a human being couldn't work this up on your own. He knew you weren't going to figure it out on your own. He knew he was going to have something to do with it. He says, I'm going to do this for you regardless of your downfalls and shortcomings. Oh, that gets me excited. You can't be born an Allen and decide you're not an Allen. You can run as far as you want. You can hide as much as you want. You can try to disown. I don't care how much you try to disown the genetics in you. There's a personality about you. There's blood in you. that come from the genetics of how you were born. You can't change it. I don't care if you give me a blood transfusion. I look a little bit like my dad. I look a little bit like my mom. I act a little bit like my dad, and I act a little bit like my mom. I don't care how far away I try to run from it. It's just who I am by birth. Well, how much more exciting is it to know that I've been born by God? I'm a child of God. I love God. You can't change who I am. I don't care if you don't like me. I'm a child of God. Born that way. I always will be an Allen as long as we're on this side. And I'm always going to be a child of God. I can't help it. I got his blood, so to speak, running through me. That blood had life, and I got the Holy Spirit in me. That's what I got in me. And you can't take it away. The world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. Oh, that gets me stirred up. That gets me want to act like Brother Isaiah a little bit, so to speak. But God's been so good to us. God's own life is inside of me. So I'm going to give you one more feel-good thing, and then I'm going to get back to it. All of it should make us feel good. You know, that, and it does, Brother Lockett. You're exactly right. Because you know what? We're believers in here. God, we come in here, and rebuke is grievous at first. It don't always feel good. But you know what a real believer does by the end of it? It brings forth peaceful fruit. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I love that scripture, because I always use that scripture not just because I'm free and free from sin, but it'll free you from your fight. Just die. Know the truth. Let go. Surrender to God, and it'll make you free. Because all of you, well, I'll speak of myself. Me, when I'm running like Jonah, running from God, or not wanting to do what he's asked me to do, that ends up being more work than I ever intended it to be. It really is. I put more energy in trying to run from God. But by the time I just end up giving up. Give up. And let Jesus take over. And then you'll be back to resting. Because you'll know you are where you're supposed to be. That feels so much better. That feels so much freer. Anytime I was a young kid trying to fit in the world, I always knew I was different, Brother Deskins. Well, I was trying to be popular school, but I knew I loved this thing, and I wasn't like they were. And I tried to go be like they were. It never worked out the way I intended to. I always ended up being different somehow, some way. Always ended up being a limit. So I can't do that. And it's not a goody two-shoes. It's just something in me loved God, and it pulled me back every single time. And when I finally got out of that situation, I always felt a lot better about it. I'm home. I made it. Oh, when I was going to start college, I had a good friend that's a good foolish version of mine. Maybe I should love one first-class person. Steve Miller, I was going to move in with him. And that was my freshman year in college. And I just kept going. I thought, something about this ain't 100% right. But I was trying to make it work, James. Something about this ain't going to be what I'm about. And it ain't because I'm so good. I just, there's something in me. Like, this is not who you are. This is not what you want. This is not what you're about. And I went to Pastor Moore. He said, Jeremiah, you know you're always welcome to stay here. Yes. And you know what? Well, I said, I took him up on that offer. Yes, yes. And maybe I wasn't the cool one. I'll just give you the Jeremiah. I'll bring it down real to you. I'll tell you, I'll show you how much I'm like you. I didn't fit in. I didn't live on campus. I wasn't away from mom and dad being a cool college student. But I felt at home. Yeah. Every time I walked to 235 East Main Street, I got to feel like I was at home. Yeah. I still remember the address. It was a place I could let my guards down. Yeah. It's a place where I could talk about God. Yeah. It was a place where wasn't all kinds of crazy stuff going on around me. But it was where somebody loved God. Oh, it felt more home there than it ever did on the dance floor, Brother James. Yeah. And yes, I've been on a dance floor, but thank God I came home where I belong. Because God's been so good to me. That this is who I really am. This is what I've been born to do. This is what my real nature is. I ain't trying to fit in with this world. I'm trying to get out of this world. Oh, I don't remember where I was at, Harley, but it's good anyhow. Because this is where you feel like you're at home. Oh, I might not be able to go to work and stand behind a mic and say, let me tell you what God did for me. There, I got to just walk it. And sometimes close the office door. I've done that before. Gotten a little excited. Said, I just need a minute to myself. I don't even want bothered. But I can't fully be myself there. Not in the way I can here. But when I come home, where I belong, so to speak, when I get around some other eagles, I feel strength. When I get around the Word, it lifts me up. It reminds me who I am. Brother Desmond will come in here and say, the devil's not even in the picture. I come in here like, oh, that devil's been on me all week. God will come in here and say, he's not even in the picture. You're so much higher than that devil. He's not even have a right to bother you without permission. Put him in his place and walk like he's a child of God. Oh, this is where I really belong. Give me Jesus. You can have the world. You can keep the world. But let me have Jesus. Let me have this Word. Let me have a living, breathing, moving God in my life. Oh, but it's going to be natural. See, what I like to do is I like to make sure the devil is not going to put any condemnation on you. That's what I want to help you with. See, I do believe this is where you belong. I actually really believe that you shouldn't try to fit in the world, that you should fit in with God. But I'm also here to say I am a 43-year-old man now that's lived a little bit. And it's going to be natural for you to be a teenager and have a pull of the world. It's going to be natural for you to be a 16-year-old and want to go party with the world. It's going to be natural for you to want to dress like them and act like them because you have a flesh that looks around and says, I want to be popular. I want to fit in that way. That's a natural thing by sex birth. So I want you to understand, don't let the devil condemn you because that little feeling's there. But just remember, because you really know, because on the other side, even when that pool's there, when you're really born of God or you got a love for God, there's something in you that says, but there's something about me different. And every once in a while, you know what? You're going to do like Jeremiah did. You're going to end up on that dance floor once and realize this is not where I belong. Come back home because that ain't your salvation. That ain't going to send you to hell. That doesn't make you not worthy. Just get back in here with a word to lift you up and remind you who you are. But I am also here to tell you, I promise you, you're going to try some of it in regards to what I tell you, but this world does not have your back. They don't love you. They'll take you to the dance floor and leave you, literally, and they won't care that they did it to you because they're not their brother's caretaker. They're not. They're of the evil one. They're not their brother's keeper. But we have a love in our heart. We have agape love. Amen. We'll get 1 Corinthians 13 tonight. Just remind us. But we have an agape love that is in our heart that we actually take care of one another, Brother Deskins. Come back home. No matter what condition you find yourself in, come back home. No matter how bad you thought you'd been, come back home. You're welcome here. You can never go so low that God won't have grace for you. Amen. You can never do so bad that God can't get you to come back in. Amen. And what's so good, great about God, he don't even make you come in here and confess all your sins. Just come on back home. Amen. That's what the prodigal son did. Yes. He got out there where he didn't even hardly look like a son, Brother Deskins. He got so bad he looked like a peasant, looked like he poor as poor could be, got out there in the gutter, so to speak. He looked like he didn't have a rich father at all. Didn't do anything his daddy wanted him to do. But when he came home, when he came home, his dad was there. Said, you're still my son. I still love you. You still belong to me. And as long as you're a son, you can have an inheritance too. Oh, that turns me on. Because I've been the one that's been before, has been in the gutter. I'm the one that's fell down. But every time I've come home, His love, mercy, and grace is right there. And guess what? Sometimes his love is a spanking. Sometimes his love's a rebuke. Sometimes it is, he'll remind me, you should have done that, and I told you should have done it, and don't do it again. But I need that too. But I'm here to tell you, after that rebuke, he's like we are in the natural. You know how you'll spank a kid? Because you know they need it. You're trying to get them to not hurt themselves. You're trying to keep them out of trouble. You're trying to say, don't do that, you'll burn yourself. Whatever. Don't get that way, you get in a car accident. But you know, after about 2 minutes, 5 minutes, I don't know, it ain't long. Don't take too long. You're ready for the hug. You're ready to remind them you love them. Like you're home. It's okay. You can come here anytime. You can come here in any condition. You can call me anytime tonight. That's not what I do to natural. That's how much I'm going to express the natural. When you're the one who made the decision to go to dance floor, call me. I'll come get you. I don't even trust your friends in the world. Call me. I'll be the one come get you. Come on home. When you're the one that did the thing I told you not to do. Because it was going to get you in the condition you're in right now. Where you can't even stand up straight. And think straight. And even know who you are. Just call home. Have the number saved in your phone. Home. Hit the home button. And daddy will come get you. And bring you back to where you belong. Oh, thank God we have a Heavenly Father that says, come on home where you belong. That I'll take care of you and I'll provide you everything you need. That's love, Bro Lockett. Oh, I'm going to get back to my message, but this one, this is on me. This feels good. Thank God for a home. Thank God where the Word is. And home is not necessarily these four walls. I only use that as an example because this is where we get our preaching and our word, where we come together and serve God. But home is really just being around the Word of God, where God can talk to you and deal with you and take care of you and give you everything you need. You're never so bad you can't come home. And you might get a spanking when you get home. But you're never so bad that you can't come home. Oh, I thank God for that. I have had plenty of times that I just needed to come home, Brother Dustin. Oh, even though it was about 6 months ago, it was a Thursday. I thought, I don't need to go anywhere on vacation. I'm just going to go home. And I actually went home. And I know, you know, don't get me wrong, because I already hear. My real home is the Allen Party 5, just so you know, I like being there than anywhere. But I decided I want to go home and see Mom and Dad. I wanted to see them. And so I said, I don't need to go anywhere. I ain't worried about eating somewhere fancy. I ain't worried about any of those things that sometimes I like to do on my vacation. I said, I'm just going home. I'm going to spend time with Mom and Dad. And when I got there on Thursday, and I just said, I ain't thinking about work. I ain't thinking about nothing. And we just sat around. My sister came over. And we enjoyed some home time. Reminiscing time. I loved it. And so going home means more than you think. Because that is where people love you. You know, I used to get offended when Brother Moore said the person that's going to love you the most is your parents. That's your best friend. I'm thinking, well, my best friend, blah, blah, blah. What do you mean? But as a parent, I get it. I don't have ulterior motives with my kids. I ain't trying to hurt my kids. I ain't trying to sleep with my kids. I'll give you an ulterior motive. I ain't trying to sleep with them. I ain't trying to use them and put them to the side. I want to help them in every way. And that's what God does for us. He's not got ulterior motives for us. If he's spanking us, it's for our good. It's not to provoke us to anger or provoke us to confusion, to provoke us to wrath. He's trying to provoke us unto good works, to be convicted and say, do this, do that. This will keep you out of trouble. He's a good father, and he always takes care of us. Even when we're the ones that ran. And thank God he has that amazing grace for us. That you can come home. I got to stop. I could preach on that for a while. But God's good. And always remember, you can come home. You're a new creature. Now I want to get back to this. Your life changes. When you're born again, that nature that you got from your earthly parents coming together and having a union is completely done away with. And that predestinated seed that was in you from your day one, that by foreknowledge God placed in you, God quickens that seed, and that seed starts manifesting, and it's the very life of God in you. As Brother Destin says sometimes, and I think Brother Lockett says it, and I always like it, I have no other life but one. I don't have two lives. Now I have an outside carnal sticky nature in that sense, but my life, my one nature, my one soul, I don't have two souls, is God's own life. It's nothing less. And it can't be anything more. All the elements of the ocean's inside of me, though I'm just one lick of it, but it's the same elements made up that make up God's is in you and me. My point in driving this home is you can't help but be God's own life. Your ideals change. Your wants change. What you do and emphasize in changes. And it happens by nature.
That's right,
man. You don't have to necessarily work it up, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You don't have to try to study it up and meditate it up. What automatically happened, God's word will talk to you. And because God's in there and God is the word, that deep will respond to that word. And it will amen that word. It'll eat that word. And then you are what you eat. And you just start applying that word. And it automatically, you just say, that makes sense. That's what I want to do. That's who I am. And it happens automatically. Now, what the devil will try to do is he'll try to get you to do the 100 things like Brother Deskins.
Yeah.
Or the 100 things that God's dealt with Brother James on. Or the 20 things times 20 things times 20 things that everybody's done. But it's a personal walk. A personal relationship. God dealing with you one on one. Now, I don't say that to just say, thank God because I can do things you can't do. No, that's not my purpose in saying that. My purpose in saying that is just don't let the devil condemn you when you don't do something like somebody else does.
That's right.
But your heart's desire, because as God's in there, is to serve God.
Yeah.
And it will happen with every heartbeat because it's who you are.
Yeah.
That's why I said I'm born to fly.
Yeah.
God's spirit in this day and age, the anointing that is on us, is an eagle spirit.
Yeah.
I can't help but be that, Brother James.
Yeah.
I can't help but see further than any other bird. I can't help but fly higher and see the entire book and know who I am. They've had the word of God all the way down through the ages. They got born again for their age. They had the Holy Spirit and what God could use in that day and age. They're part of the bride of Jesus Christ. But what they did not have that we have is we understand the entire book. We can see the whole picture. We have eagle eyes. We can see what was, what is to come.
Amen.
Oh, we can do it, people. And I like what Brother Moore says. We are ordained to do it. It's just in me to do it. We won't grow weary. We will not faint. We will not fall. We're born for this job, and we are going to get the rapture done. I don't care how many devil's lies the devil says. It's just in us to do it. I can't help but be what I am.
Amen.
I am meant for this day. I am meant for this hour. I am meant to have the full word of God and slice and cut and handle it. I am meant to understand I can't live bad enough to make it, bad enough to miss it, and good enough to make it. And I can handle it with balance and come back and say, God, I'm here to live for you and serve you and guard for you and do works for you. Whatever you want, God, give it to me, I'll do it. That's how great we are. That's the spirit that's on us.
Right.
We can overcome anything, any obstacle. We can fly above it, around it, over top of it. And because we have eagle eyes, we can see it before it's even coming.
Amen. You know, you're right.
It's who we are.
Amen.
By nature, you become a new creature. Old things pass away.
That's right.
You know, Brother Randy always used John Dillinger, if you had that life in you, you'd make guns.
Right.
If you have the life of God in you, you're going to do God-like things. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now let me read you a quote here. I remember one I brought, you'll like it. This is from the fourth seal, course, Steele's word talks about that eagle. But Abraham says, now when he comes forth, the eagle age, that's the one that God always likens his prophets to eagles. You know, I'm going to go over and read Revelations 10, 10, and 11 today just so you know it's going to happen. Because we know we had a major prophet. And we know that God did not would do nothing until he first showed it to his prophet. And we preach what he preached. And we prophesy what he prophesies. He's got his place. But you realize what it says, you must prophesy again. You're the eagle now. He calls himself an eagle. The eagle goes so high, there ain't nothing else can touch him. Think about that. Nothing else can touch him. That's what Brother Dustin says all the time. I like it. The devil's down here. I'm up here. He's hardly even in the picture. The only time he gets in the picture because I just play around with him a little bit. But we're high, people. Yes. Not only is he up there, listen to this, but he's built for that position. When he gets up there, he can see where he's at. Oh, isn't that us today? Don't we know where we are? We know we're in the eighth day. We're not trying to do seventh church age work, sixth church age work, fifth church age work. We're trying to do eighth day work. We do no servile work in there, but yet we have a job to do in the sense that we are the Son of Man, the full Word of God, to the face of the earth, to get the dead up and get out of here and manifest the life of God with full understanding. He sees where he's at. Some people get up there and can't see where they're at. Some people can't handle the eighth day. Some people don't know how to handle the open book. Some people don't know how to rightly divide Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. Scares them. Some people think we take too much upon ourselves. They thought the same thing about Jesus. You being a man, make yourself equal with God. Aren't you Joseph's son? And they'll do the same thing to these eagles that are flying high, that know who we are, that talk bold, that say, I'm taking my loved ones. And I know they did this, but they're going to go still. And you're forgiven sins, and it ain't carnal. You're doing it by revelation. Because you have an understanding. You see where you are. Amen. That you're a child of God that has a token. That you can actually apply that token. And you're exactly right, Seth. If you're not flying high and have a revelation, you have no token to apply. That's right. But if you're the one that has the ticket in your hand, Oh, you're the one that can apply. When Daddy came home and had that blood, he applied it on the doorpost. Yeah. We can apply that token. We know where we are. Yes. I've been around long enough. There ain't too many people in the message church that talk about taking full versions. I'll just be honest with you. I've heard a lot of preachers, and they don't talk a lot about full versions. One, some of them aren't even sure if they really can go because they didn't get born again on this side. So then they struggle if they can even go, some half of them. Then the other half's afraid to take too much authority upon themselves to say, because you treated me good, you get to go. And see, what we're flying high, people. We're eagles. We see where we are. No, I'm not worthy. I'm a sinful man in that sense. But I've been born again. I'm God's own life walking around. And when you do it to me, you do it unto God. I know who I am. I know where I'm at. That's what eagles do. And so we step out. I mean, you guys are testifying all the time. I don't take, you know, because I don't take that for granted, because I know people struggle with that, even in this message. You guys get up here and say, I was at the market the other day, and so-and-so did so-and-so. I was on an airplane the other day, and so-and-so did so-and-so. And you do it, I like to always use the phrase, like with your eyes closed, like it's common to you now. Because you know who you are. It's not a joke, but if you're flying high, you see a revelation. You see that's what God's doing. That's where eagles are.
Amen.
But some, when he gets up there, he can see where he's at. Some people get up there, and they can't see where they're at. So it don't do no good to get up there. But you let a crow try to fly like an eagle or a hawk, either one, he would disintegrate. He's got to be pressurized for where he goes. Think about that. We could preach a whole message on that. He's got to be pressurized where he can go. You realize that 200 million demons loosed in this day? But we're more than able, Brother Deskins. We have the full octane power of the Holy Ghost with the full Word of God, an explosion, and we can overcome every devil that comes our way. We're in the most worst time that people want nothing to do with God. Yeah, we hold our head high And we're still here serving God because we're eagles. We're pressurized for this hour.
Amen.
And we get around things, and we always say that that aren't holy things. But you can't hardly walk outside and not see those things. But we're pressurized for the hour that we're living in. It's not that we're trying to do those things. We're just able to withstand this world and serve God despite all the 200 million demons all around us, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We can do this. We will do this, and we can't help but do this. We're pressurized for it. Brother Branham says that's the trouble today. Some of us don't get pressurized. We explode too quick. You see when we're jumping? But we got to be pressurized. When you get up there and have the keen sight of the eagle to see what's coming and know what to do. Now the eagle age revealed it. Now we find the eagle age was promised in Revelation 10 and Malachi 4. That would be in the last days. That's right. It would be here. All right. We're in the eagle age. We're built for this, Brother James. We're born to fly. Well, I'm going to carry on, but the point I want to really drive home this morning, we're going to get this job done. We're more than able. I ain't pumping you up. I'm just reminding you who you are. You got an eagle spirit on you that sees the entire Word of God. You know how to handle every situation you encounter. You know where the devil is and how to put him in his place. And even here lately, God could come in here and tell you, you need to guard for this thing. And you know how to eat that and say, I'm balanced for this. I got a job to do. I got the greatest message on the face of the earth.
Amen.
And I'm going to protect this thing. And I'm going to guard for this thing.
Yes.
And I want to do what God wants me to do. Because I'm an eagle and I'm built for this thing. And I'm going to be able to do this thing because it's in me to do this thing.
Amen.
And then when you fall on your face, you'll fly high like an eagle and say, there's therefore now no condemnation.
Yeah.
Then when God comes there and says, I want you to dress right, you'll say, I'm going to dress right. I don't want you to hurt my influence. You don't want to hurt his influence. You want to inspire people because you're an eagle and you see further and higher than any other bird. You're born to fly. You're born to overcome. You're born to see it all. You're born to how to even separate works from grace. Who else can do that? Who else can come in here and start the service and say, come on home? No matter how bad you are, come on home. And then on the other side, come in here and say, hey, we should consider what we're doing.
Amen.
We're love prisoners of God. He needs certain things out of us. And we should want to give those things. Brother James told you right this morning. Ain't just sit on our laurels, sit back and relax. Get to work. Get to flying. Get to moving. Get to doing what God needs you to do. I ain't here to list it for you. You know what it is. Get to work. That's how straight we can put it today. Because this is too late of an hour. We see too much. It would be a sin to disbelieve now, like Brother Branham said. It's a relaxing hour. It's the eighth day. We know everything that we know. Just ask yourself, if there was a question, I know we have questions and answers and you guys bring questions, but really thinking when you're dealing with the world, think about your level of understanding. It's not that I'm making them so low, but in their level of understanding, how many answers you have that they don't have? How much rest you have that they don't have? How you relax when they're nervous? You're pressurized for it. You're built for it. We've had preaching from Brother Branham. We've had preaching from Brother Childers. We've had preaching from Brother Moore for many, many years, from Genesis to Revelation. We got so many answers, I forgot more than the world will know, as Brother Children used to say. You know, I remember this morning. I was out for work in California, and I took one extra day, and I went to Joshua Tree National Park because it was only a little bit away. And I always wondered why it got called Joshua Tree National Park, and sure enough, they have this plaque there. As they called it Joshua Trees because they imagined Joshua, the prophet, leading them through the to the promised land with his hands up. And so they called them Joshua Trees. I was with a Catholic, good Catholic too, by the way, just a good old person, just fish fries, feed the poor. If I called him tomorrow and said I need help doing something, he'd be there, friendly, doesn't cuss, just a smile at work, good old foolish virgin. But when I mentioned Joshua to him, He barely knew who he was. Now, I'm not an Old Testament preacher really per se, but man, I think if you don't know the story about Joshua, yeah. Man, that's like the perfect type of where we are today. Yeah. It's the type of the Holy Spirit. Prophet's dead, but it didn't stop God from still going into the promised land. My point being is the world don't know this. Amen. And you're sitting in here and I say Joshua, and the first thing you probably think of, we're more than able to take the land. Follow me. Be courageous. Be strong. We're in the eighth day. We know who we are. We had Moses. We needed Moses. But now Joshua's here. That just comes off your tongue just like that. Because you're an eagle. We've been so much word preached here. We have everything that we need to get the job done. And we're built to see it all and have it all and use it all. And we will get the job done. Brother Branham said in Christ is the mystery. I got the quote right here. The Eve fell, but this Eve is ordained not to fall. When you're born again of God, you can't fall. Now make sure your election and calling is sure. Make sure you're born again. But if you're born again, you're going. If you're born again, you're going to get the job done. If you're born again, you're going to serve God. If you're born again, with every heartbeat, it'll just come out of you. You won't even be able to stop it. The craving will be there. You'll come to church. You'll amen the word of God. You'll manifest the word of God. You'll do the work that God wants you to do. And the greatest work is we're manifesting our day and its hour. We're Luke 17 and 30. We're Revelations 10, 8 through 11. We are the very living word, living epistles, read and understood by all men born for this age. First Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Got a few more here. I'm going to share it with you. We'll start with verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Amen. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Jumping down to verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Amen. Oh, I've always been astounded by that scripture, because it just lets you know how peculiar you are. You know, if you thought about just your natural body, we know this, we've been over this, everything about it has a function. To the pinky toe, to the big toe, to the toenail, to the nose, to the ears, to your waist, shoulders, arms, fingers, eyes, everything has a job. No duplicates. And my finger does what fingers do. It doesn't do what eyes. My finger does not hear. But I can touch. Amen. And I can't touch with my eyes. Right. I know somebody can touch them, but that's not, you know, that's not what you want. Somebody poke you in the eye, you're in trouble. I hear with my ears. I don't hear with my eyes. I see with my eyes. But we all have a job to do. And my eyes are made to be my eyes. They're there for that very reason. So I can see as I walk around to do things. And my finger is meant to be his finger for its very reason and its very purpose. Now bring that to this local assembly, to this local body. We all are members of this church, so to speak. This little local assembly, Bride of Jesus Christ. And I know it was bigger than these four walls, but this is our little body. We all have a job to do. Born for it. Ordained for it. Meant to do it. And I believe we've been up the road enough, most of us know what that is, but I'm here to remind you, do your job. Yes. You're called for it. Work the works of God. Do what he's called you to do. Guard for this thing. I'll never forget, because I, in all my years, and it's in there, just hadn't read it, reverence, humility, and action. Those three sets of wings for the cherubims. One was over the eyes for reverence. One was over the feet for humility. And the other wings was set to fly for action. That's who we are. We have the same three things. I've always noticed when people leave church, and I never make this so solid that anybody where there's breath, there's hope. But if you ever notice, the people that leave and don't have any respect for this place, just no reverence, just mouth at the end, the chance of that person coming back, where there's breath, there's hope, that's a lot lower. I just seen it. Than the same person that left and kept some respect and reverence. Because that's a sure sign there's something in you a little bit. That even though you're walking away, there's something just knows there's something right about the place, you know? But we should have reverence for God. Respect for God. And we do. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. And but you know, you should have respect for those that have charge over you. You should have respect for your elders. When Brother Lockett, Brother John, Brother Deskins, Brother Ted, Brother Warren, and Sister Moore and Sister Dawn, those people get up, Sister Ramona and all the elders that we have, I'm listening. I thank God I have that understanding. At one point in time, I didn't know how to work that appropriately, but I know how to work that now. They can say some powerful things. I use in my life every day now the fact that the devil's really not even the pitcher. And Brother Deskins said that more than anybody. I know the devil's real. The devil's there to pester you, so to speak. He's still around, but what God's trying to say is you got something in you greater. You have such a powerful revelation that just put him in a place. We almost get to the point where the things he used to stress us out don't stress us out anymore because we know who we are. It's like you're saying this morning, you're relaxed. You've been up the road a little bit. All these things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. But that's what you have respect for these elders. And so that, and you know what? Really, one for another. I ain't trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to make you low, me high. I appreciate what you say. Every one of you, not just my elders. I appreciate what Sister Jennifer said this morning. Help me, Lord. Because me just taking care of myself is a waste of time. I like that. Every time you're trying to fit in, I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Just remind yourself what Sister Jennifer said this morning. It's a waste of time. And you might do it, but just remind yourself, it's a waste of time. It ain't going to accomplish much. But only what you do for Christ, that's what will last. But all that said, when you're in the body, you have a job to do, and we're all called to do it. And that respect, that humility, humility sometimes is turning the cheek, but sometimes it is saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. It's rebuking when you didn't want to rebuke. It's being stern when you didn't want to be stern. You've humbled yourself to doing what God asked you to do. It's time for both of those things. But that action, we're a moving, living, breathing body. We all got things to do. We all got things to guard. We all got things to take care of. Not just you, Brother Chris, it's me too. Lord, help me. It's me that needs a little bit of changing. It's me. Before I leave today, Lord, I want to change. Remind me, we'll sing that when we close. Before I leave today, Lord, I want to change. Because that's what all of our desires should be. You know what gets me excited is when we're in the Eagle Age, that means we're heaven bound. I'm going to get the Revelation 10. That's my next place I'm going. We're on our way out of here. It could happen any day, any moment. Heaven's cheap at any price. I can stand on my head, as Brother Cecil Childers would say, and make it to heaven now. That's how I feel. There's not too big mountain. There ain't too many clouds. There ain't too many things that God can ask that I can't flap my wings as an eagle and fly as high as I need to fly. Because I'm built for this age. I'm born for this age. God can't ask me too much. You say, Jeremiah, you're preaching holy living, not in the sense of what we used to do, make ourselves worthy and be holier than now. All I'm preaching is I want to do what God wants me to do. And that's a list for you. That's a different list for me, but not my will, but thine be done. Because that's what we're built for. But I want to remind you, what we're really here to do, I'm going to get these dead up. I see the hour. I see where I'm at. I see what I'm supposed to be doing. I know I'm not in that seventh church age anymore. I know the body's been built. I know our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've seen the book open. I've seen my name there. I've seen my position. I know my very job. I ain't trying to get Sanctification has been taken care of for the body. Justification has been taken care of the body. It is time to get out of here, and we are the eagle age that sees the whole thing, that has the Word of God.
Amen.
That's the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
We're going to get the job done.
Amen.
Oh, that's why it's an exciting hour, Brother Destin, to be flying this high. It's an exciting hour to see where we are. It's an exciting hour to know we're going back to God. It's an exciting hour to know we're going to Wedding Supper. It's an exciting hour to know I'm going to get a glorified body. It's an exciting hour to know I'm going to reunite with my loved ones. Oh, it's the greatest hour to ever live in. Flying higher than anybody's ever flew before. We're up here in space just floating, so to speak. Clouds don't even bother us. Turbulence doesn't even bother us. And you know the thing about a spaceship versus an airplane? You even got to have more combustion. That's what Brother Branham said in the Quickening Power. He said, this is full octane gasoline, and this is the greatest spark. We got the full Word of God, and we got the Holy Spirit here. This is the Son of Man, the full Word of God, born on the scene again. This is the eagle age, and we're born for it.
Amen.
Just to tell the devil to eat that for a little bit. Put it in his pipe. Smoke on that a little bit. Taste that a little bit. Even while I am trying to live better, and I am, I can get out of here before I even get there. Even as I am trying to guard a little bit more, and I am, I can get out of here today before I can guard tomorrow. Because I'm an eagle. I still know what my job is. It's to fly out of here. It's to guard this greatest message. It's to protect it. It's to live what God wants me to live. To do the works that I'm supposed to do. And I want to, and it's my desire. But I'm here to tell you, I'm going to get out of here tomorrow if that's what's possible. Because I got the wings to do it. I got the eyesight to do it. I got the message to do it. I got the full Word of God to do it. We're born to fly.
Amen.
Revelation 10.
Amen, Lord.
For you,
yes, Lord.
Let's get to Revelation 10 before you accuse me of preaching as long as Brother Moore. You know, thank God for our pastor. We couldn't make it without him. You know how I mentioned we were each members in particular of this body? You realize he's ordained to see us through? He's ordained, built for it. You realize that he is a man. He's told you this over and over. He doesn't know how to put a shoe on any better than you do. He don't know how to tie a shoe any better than you do. But he's got an office that he's just built to do, to hear from God. To see the problem you're in and you didn't even tell him. To know what to come here and preach to help you along the way. Knows what you need and how soon you need it and how soon you don't need it. Knows how to deal with the Holy Spirit of everybody in this assembly. We couldn't make it without him. And it is our job to hold his hands up. It is our job to make sure we don't badly influence his message. It is our job to help promote this message. Let me go down to Easter with him and help him out. Let me show them who we are.
Yes.
Let me do my part.
Yes.
Let me carry the Bible. Let me pour the water if that's what I got to do.
Yes.
Let me put on the dress.
Yes.
Let me have long hair.
Yes.
Let me do what I'm supposed to do. Because
yes.
I got the greatest message and I want to take it all over the world, so to speak, and share it.
Yes.
I want to lift up his arms. I'm excited he's preaching.
Yes.
Ain't nobody else I'd rather hear preach than that man.
Yes.
And I know James can flat out preach. He did it a little bit this morning. I enjoy hearing Brother James quite a bit. I enjoyed Brother Alex on Wednesday night quite a bit. Every time he comes. And I can preach a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Moore is the preacher of preachers, as far as I'm concerned. And I can't wait to get down there. And if I have no other part but just to say amen, I'm going to say amen. If it's to get up and sing, I'm going to get up and sing. Because I know what's coming. Those are just appetizers. But I got some full, well done. Actually, I'm going to call it medium done steak. Juicy. Coming for you. It's going to taste good. Oh, here's a little salad. Put a little dressing on the salad. You want water? You want water with bubbles or just plain water? I'll give you a little bit of that. Whatever you need. But I'm telling you, there's something greater than salad coming. Something greater than this water coming, so to speak. We got to eat and drink. I know that. But I'm going to get ready to give you some meat of the day. And it's going to be what you need to fill you up, to lift you up, to renew your strength, so you can mount up as eagles. That's all God's done the last two services. He just reminded us who we are. You know that scripture says renew? It means you've been there before. You got it. Let me just renew that in you. Let me just remind you. And we're already eagles. It's just like secondhand nature. Just quick. Oh, I was like, I was down here at the chickens. Mama cried. I'm up here in the air just like that. Flying high. Tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to turn. I'm ready to do whatever I got to do because I'm all about this message. I'm in the eagle age and I know it's time to get out of here. Revelations 10.
Well, amen.
I don't know if you noticed. He jumped down to 10 on us this time. He didn't go to 8. 8, you got to take that book. We know that. You need to get that book. He jumped all the way down to 10, 11. So I'm going to jump to 10, 11 on it. You know, that gets me a little excited. He ain't worried about eight. God didn't say 8 and 9. That's closer. That's closer to getting it done. I ain't starting at 8 now. Starting at 10. Oh, that gets me excited. You know, it used to be 10 and 1 for a long time. Then it used to be 10 and 7 for a long time. Brother Childers had us on 10 and 7 for quite a long time. And he had to. Here comes Brother Moore. He got us on 8 to 11, taking the book ourselves. But oh, did God not come in here last Sunday and go all the way to verse 10? Oh, I'm a little further along than I thought. I'm almost out of here. That gets me excited. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth, sweet as honey, and as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. You're the eagle. You're the one born for the job. You're the one born to fly. You're the one born to guard. You're the one born to see higher and further than anybody else. You're the one that they without us could not be made perfect. We need the foundation. We need the feet, the waist. We need justification. We need sanctification. We need a restoration of the gifts. But the whole thing couldn't move if the mind didn't show up. And the mind's here now. The one telling us where to go is here. Headship to the body's here now. That's where we are.
Amen.
We got a job. And we're born for it. Amen. Pressurized for it. Ordained to do this thing. You won't grow weary. You won't fall down.
Amen.
This is ordained not to fall. Wait till that group takes the word. It can slice and cut. But what they say is going to happen because it's the word of God coming out of the mouth of God. You have power to remit sins. That's the divine revelation. The word made flesh, Brother Bram says.
Amen.
You can forgive sins. What you loose, what you bind.
Yeah.
We're the final voice to the final age. We know where we are. We're flying high.
Yeah.
Born for this thing.
Yeah. Amen.
And Revelation 4. You can read it. Brother Bram said, as you get through Revelation 3, you don't really hear about the bride anymore until Revelation 19. Now, we've been through that, and we know you got to go to 10, but there's a reason why he said that. Because he said the bride's raptured off the face of the earth. I think it's verse 1 says, come up hither. What's an eagle going to do? Come up hither. We're heavenly bound. Brother Desmond, our job is this rapture. It's still where we are. This body's going to change one day. I ain't here to pound justification in you. I ain't here to pound sanctification in you. I ain't here to rapture. Time to go home. Come up hither. You prophesy again. Can these bones live? Speak unto these bones. Prophesy unto these bones. Can they live again? Thou knowest, son of man. How about you, eagles? Can these bones live again? Can they get up? Are they on one since already standing on our feet? We just getting ready to put some more sinew or whatever on us. But we're up now, united, just waiting for the change of the body. Back in the Garden of Eden condition every way, just need a change of the body. And we're eagles flying high. You realize it's the God prophet now? Because, you know, I'll even say this. Brother Brandon talked about Malachi 4 being those eyes. We're up here in the headship. Not just a Malachi 4, the earthly angel. We're here with the heavenly angel. Amen. God himself. That's right. Christ himself in bride form. Wow. Brother Bram was the first fruit of it. Yes. But here we are, little eaglets. Right. Flying high. Yeah. Knowing our job. Amen. Born to fly. Amen. What's it like to be an eagle? Amen. We know. We've been flying for a long time. Amen. Oh, little bride, we say this all the time, brothers. Chris said this morning, heaven's cheaper than it costs. Whatever God asks, it ain't too much. Like Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. What I love about it, this ain't just shining up shoes to shine up shoes. This has got purpose behind it. This is the reason to do what we're doing. God's working on something. And we're eagles eating meat. You can't make it too hard. You can't make it too light. We're born to fly. We're born to do this. We're born to eat this food. Seth said it this morning, and I looked it up to say it real quick. Let me read it to you. I didn't bring it with me. The new birth is Christ is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and now that's the new birth. Now what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God is expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position. It will one day. I think we quite know where we are. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. We know we're eagles. We know where the eagle is. We see far, Brother James. It's time. It's still time to get out of here. But we're eagles built for this. Brother Moore got anointed last Sunday on that when he realized, I can't help but be an eagle. And the eagle will do this. We're born to do it. I'm a new creature. All things have passed away. This is my everyday life. Yeah. And I don't even mean that necessarily, everyday life, that living so good in the way that some of you took it. It's just my everyday purpose. Right. It's in me. It's my every breath. Right. Yeah. It's what I'm ordained to do. Amen. I'm a living, breathing, living God to this world. The only God that some of them are going to see is the one in you and me. God bless you. Come on, musicians. Lord, I need a change. I don't know if that's even in here. Come on up.
It was hard to get in this morning, but I'm glad I get to come now. You know, what's it like to be an eagle? You just asked that question. I remember what it was like living with the chickens, and I will never take it for granted that I'm soaring above the world and not stuck in any of those kinds of things. And I get to take my family. I have that peace of mind. You know, I got some family members that need some prayer. If one thing that last Sunday, was Sunday or Wednesday, I said I wasn't going to be here today, and I wanted to get that testimony in about my foot. I walked outside and I was talking to Brother Kevin, and I'm like, you know what? I just learned something. I should have asked for prayer a long time ago, because I've been dealing with this since last summer. And you know, a couple of people in the body found out about it, and they were with me. So anyway, that's one thing that. But my foot is fine, and I'm still holding on to that. I do have a praise report. I got a phone call yesterday from one of our prayer classes in Florida. She had pancreatic cancer, and she said the doctors were even amazed. She had 5 of her lymph nodes that were full, and she said they can barely find a trace of anything, you know? And we know those kinds of things. I just don't ever want to be guilty of not saying thank you, you know, because God heard our heart. You know, he heard my prayers. And I just want to thank God for everything that he's done for me. Give me the most wonderful husband that I wrote a list, and he's got everything that God wanted me to have. That leadership we talk about, my goodness, not everybody has that. And I have family members that do not have that. And I'm just thankful. God made a way for all of it. But I get to do this walk. I get to be an eagle, and I love it.
Amen. I always tell James and Brother Morris that at least we got Doug, because he actually shows the good side of the Allens. And thankful for Brother Doug. He is good. Brother John, go ahead. We get you in.
God bless you, Bride. You know, I appreciate the word. Ain't nothing like the word.
Amen.
It's the word that governs my life.
Right.
I don't move unless he tells me. I don't say nothing unless he tells me. I don't. You know? But here's a beautiful message this morning.
Amen. Yes.
And what he preached is on this paper. When I was up at 3 a.m.
Wow. Wow. God's real. Yes,
he's real. You know, the message has been solid. I know I don't say much, but I heard a voice that told me, how can I understand? How can I understand if I don't keep quiet? Talking over people and stuff, you know? I can't explain what God did to me. I just know.
Yeah, he did.
You touch me.
Yeah, amen.
You touch God. Amen. You judge me. You judge God. Right. You understand? When I say I love you guys, I love you guys. Amen. That means anybody out there talk crap about you, bro. I know you. You understand? You're going to expect me to say something.
Right.
That ain't my brother.
Right.
He ain't like that. That ain't him. You understand? Prefer your brother, people said this morning, right? Love your brother, right? You love the body, right? The brother just preached it. God spoke and said, this world is not our home. Neither are these people. It's us against them. We have a revelation. God chose us. God didn't choose them. But when they get through accusing anybody in here, and you take their word, and then you come to me, condemn me, accuse me, knowing who I am, knowing I'm here every time, I don't need to speak. My testimony, I'm there every day. That brother Locke sees me. That's my testimony. I'm still here. I don't need to say, he in me.
Amen.
Amen.
Still here.
I don't play with God's word. I don't make jokes about it. I don't. I have such a reverence, such a fear. Yeah. A brother told me that he see I have reverence and humility, but no action. He's wrong. You're looking at the outward. You judge it from the flesh when the brother just said the real me. I want to identify with Jeremiah. Matthew 16:13-20. Who do you say I am? It's a revelation. Flesh and blood cannot reveal, will not reveal, okay, who I am. If the Spirit of God dwells, he will let me know who's his people. He has to. It's the eighth day. It's the third pole. It's God himself. Who you think? This is not a game. This is not a game. You better recognize what you're doing and seeing the bride right and accordingly.
Yeah.
If we all claim to be in one mind, one accord, which the scriptures don't say one mind, it just says one accord. But if we want to be in one mind, one accord, we cannot be in one mind because everybody thinks different. We got to be in one accord. An accord. So it says, flesh and blood, unless the Father reveals to you who I am, you don't know me. Oh, I love what that brother said. 2 Corinthians, wherefore henceforth, we know nobody, we know. For we know no man after the flesh. And I like what that brother said, because Brother Branham said that we know no man after the flesh. Then he says here, Brother Branham said, you never seen me. Ain't that something? You cannot see God unless God's in you.
That's right.
You cannot identify unless he's in you to identify. You see? Looking at the outward, judging on the outward, and you're missing God. And we are taught not to do that. We all claim to have a revelation from God knowing who we are. What are you doing? It says, the flesh declares who I am, but that's not the real me. It's the life on the inside, the Son of Man.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said, you You will never see me, and you never will, because it's a revelation. They couldn't even see Christ. They couldn't even see him. And he was in the flesh. He was in the midst. Like in the flesh. This is spirit. But he deals with us through our flesh. So it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and by revelation, all things are made new, and all things are of God. I'm not who I used to be.
Right.
All right.
So please, if I'm standing back there, I'm here. I'm identifying. I'm getting the word. You know?
Amen.
But when you say you prefer this body, you lift up your brother, you prefer your brother. Don't say stuff up here, and then when you go out there, you do it different. Forget it. This brother just preached it. Mm-hmm. You heard his testimony, right?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I have received the circumcision made without hands. I'm not identified by my past. Sin, the brother said. I'm identified by his word. It is not I, but Christ that lives in me.
Amen.
We have agreed. We all have agreed.
Right.
The bride body, we are who we are. Amen. We all agreed.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like he say, you know, we come in here, praise God and everything. But when we go out there, what you say in here is not matching out there. Not when you come in and accusing me, telling me that I'm a bad testimony.
Let me help you out.
When somebody in here tells me that I'm not a good testimony, and he can't use me. Yeah. And I think, oh, Lord. Lord.
Let me help you out.
That don't make no sense.
Well, let me help you out. God can use you. God can use you, brother. And we love you.
Now, you said that we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. Like, Pastor even told me that. And, like, brothers, you know, like, help me out, Jay.
No, I just say, God can use you. And, you know, sometimes, Brother John, too, is it's all of us in here that would look at ourselves.
Yeah, because it says here.
And say that we could be a little better.
Yeah.
And not just John or not just Jeremiah. Right. Every one of us could be a little better. I believe that God.
2 Corinthians. Here we go. I had last.
Yeah.
Give no offense to anything that our ministry are not blamed.
Right.
I'm sorry. I take this so serious. So serious. Like 2 years, God has been beautiful to me, taught me, stripped me, built me, and like, I'm humbled. Remember, bro, I used to come in here drinking, smoking weed, testifying, all that, right? But look at me now. See, there's action because, the brother don't see action, but, I'm still here even though I'm quiet. You know what I'm saying? I'm identifying with it. So when somebody in here tells me I'm not a good testimony and I'm not, and then turn around and tell me that the family don't want me around, I'm like, wow, bro, really? You ain't looking at me right. I don't have no problem with nobody, but I am obligated to tell the truth. I'm obligated. Whether it hurts or it don't matter. The truth's the truth. And the truth sets me free. And I ask God to set me free.
Amen. Amen.
And I've been up to 3 in the morning with this.
All right.
You know? Sorry for my boldness or the kind, but
the only reason why I want to help you is we love you. Yeah. We love you, Brother John. Amen. And you're part of this body. And we know you love God. We know you love God, and we know you're serious about this thing. And all of us, not just you, all of us can always be better. But I know you're good and love God, so rest. We love God. Come back tonight at 7. And always remember, you know, one of the things that as he was talking that sticks out to me is, we're all going to be in different spots. We're all going to be in different places. We're all going to have different places where God's got us. We're all not going to all of a sudden be robots and doing the same thing. And sometimes God gives us answers for somebody because they're in a different situation than you, than they give somebody else. You can't judge people off that. And we're not a judging body either. At the same time, we can all do better.
Amen.
Kibe. Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord.
Lord, I need you today. Before I walk out the door, and I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. Before I leave, Lord, I need a change. You're dismissed.